it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Kirk Bowles, the American Statesman. Tom, you say you beat everybody with your A game. I guess it's safe to say you didn't play the A game today. Was it just because OU maybe was a lot better than you anticipated, or would you got to just off your game today?
No, we knew how good they were. There was no taking them lightly. We knew we were up against. We knew that their defense had improved, and we certainly saw the things that they were doing offensively. We didn't play well, and we got to figure out. Everybody knows the what, right? The what is we didn't play well, and we pressed, and we got to figure out why, and that's our job as coaches. Is to get to the root of the issue and make sure that we correct those things and they don't happen again.
John!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't. What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Down!
Come on!
Ready! Down! Set! Hut! 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 Hut!
Hit me!
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
It's time for the Soonerscoop.com postgame show presented by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com podcasts. Now, here's your road crew, Carrie, Eddie, and Bob, wrapping up all the action and reaction from this week's game.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Eskridge Lexus post-game show brought to you live here from Dallas, Texas. We're actually still at the Cotton Bowl in the press box doing our post-game podcast. So Sooners win at 34-27. Jalen Hurts, a very up-and-down day, as you saw him. He made some bad decisions, which we talked a lot about it this week, but he fortunately had CeeDee Lamb on his side. Who had, as Bob wrote in his post-game story, added himself to the legends of the Red River rivalry,
71
yards
not
on the
just,
day. Like
just
I can't,
touchdowns.
I still can't even.
Just crazy.
The the catches. I mean, it was an embarrassing.
They were
day.
All right.
It was all right. It was an embarrassing day, you know, for the Longhorn defense. It was just. It was kind of like, you know, the Jordan Evans play, you know, a few years ago, where they were trying to arm tackle and it didn't look good. But here is actually CeeDee Lamb talking about his big game today.
I mean, considering what was at stake at this game, it's obviously a great experience, man. And for me to go out there and play with a chip on my shoulder like I did today and, I can't really do nothing but thank the big man upstairs and the guy that's sitting to the right of me for putting me in a position. And got to thank the defense for their performance today.
Lincoln, is he as good a gamer as you've ever coached?
He's pretty good today. You know, there's no doubt we've been able to coach some great wideouts over the year. And, you know, we still got some time together, so I'm not going to anoint him yet. But he's he knows that. He's a special player, you know, and it's been fun. For the journey with CD and really just like Kenneth too, you know, just seeing their development through the years, and they came in talented kids, hungry kids, and they're both really turned into great players. And but proud of these guys, proud of how CD played today on a big stage. He's a big game player.
Hey guys, I think, you know, for CeeDee Lamb, this has been a season of slow starts for him. The UCLA game, he finally, you know, was able to break out a little bit. And, you know, he needed a big game on the big stage. And OU needed guys to give a big game on the big stage. And we'll get to Kenneth Murray here in just a bit, too. But CeeDee Lamb delivered today like few times we've ever seen him.
He played like a guy that will
most likely be a Biletnikoff finalist. I mean, the
and
way
a
that
round draft pick.
And a first round draft pick, probably more so a first round draft pick. You actually get paid when you get when you get drafted in the NFL. But that was an impressive. He took over the game at times.
Yeah.
And you know, when Oklahoma needed a big play, when they needed I guess kind of get something going offensively. It was such a weird first half with only 10 points. I can't. That was the lowest scoring first half since. I would imagine that
good long while
it's in the game notes somewhere, but it was just, that was the type of performance that I think when we talked about CeeDee Lamb in the preseason, that that's what we thought was going, it was going to look like.
I mean, this is yeah, that, the one, two, three, iconic four, five. Photos. You have five
that,
Texas
that's the picture
defenders.
That would be,
that's like a, you know, it's like a Barry Sanders type thing. Like how, okay. How many yards more did he run before they all swarmed
and
him?
Then and then you need Carrie to play the audio of me in the press box saying, well, that's not scoring a touchdown.
He did.
Honestly, he really I thought the third touchdown in the fourth quarter was more impressive than the second one. Just because he literally broke two tackles that were, they popped him pretty good. And he just, I was watching last night a Red River rivalry or showdown preview on Fox Sports, and just his transformation from his body from the last 3 years. He's turning into a dude right before our eyes, and I think that, you know, moving forward, he's a guy that you can rely on now.
Yeah, because the weird thing really about this offense today is that they'd rack up the yards, but they wouldn't score until Texas scored, and then when Texas scored, they would bounce back, and they would bounce back because of Lamb and what he was able to do.
You know, that was Baker's offense back in the day. Like, they would sputter, and someone would score, and it would piss Baker off, and he'd take his offense down the field and score. Maybe Lincoln's the guy that gets pissed off. I don't know. There were definitely some interesting play-calling choices from Lincoln today. He had the fourth down midfield that he went for, didn't get it.
Yeah, also, I thought the play call there was just –
well, that would have worked.
Left a little to be desired.
No, that would have worked, but the
was
pass
bad.
Was tipped.
Threw it behind it. Oh, it was tipped.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was tipped.
Lamb was open. That was going to work.
But it was – I felt
come
like –
come on, we don't get to shit on Lincoln Riley's play calling very much. Let me do it just this one time.
Bob, I thought it was kind of one of those days where Jalen Hurts wasn't comfortable in the pocket, probably didn't stay with receivers long enough down the field, and just got a little antsy at times.
It's the throws that he got away with against Tech and Kansas that he didn't get away with. And you think about that interception right near the goal line in the red zone. That's a play that the last couple of weeks was like, man, I don't know why he's just throwing it up there, and you're lucky that didn't hurt. Today it did, and he had the fumble in the red zone. But his whole narrative sort of changed because he settled down in the second half. Maybe he wasn't as efficient as he's been throughout the first five games, but those last two quarters, you know, not much you can say about how poorly he played. He regrouped just fine in the second half.
Guys, it was a showdown between Sam Ehlinger and Jalen Hurts where neither of them really were the difference in this game.
Well, I mean, there was a reason for that on the one side of the ball, and I guess we're bearing the lead here.
Bearing the lead just, on the defense.
I'm going to admit, I was going to say,
it was borderline erotic at times. I mean, that was probably one of the best defensive performances I can remember. And, I mean, I honestly think it's been 5 or 6 years. Like, you could probably point at OU and Columbus, maybe.
Yeah.
You could point – I mean, you if you really wanted to, you could probably count good performances on one hand.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's like it doesn't take that long to figure them out because there aren't many.
No, not at all. But that was it was 9 sacks, tied a school record, 15 tackles for loss, tied a – I think it was second most
against Texas.
Ever against Texas. That was when you talk – and again, it's one of those – another weekend in which you just – you watch Oklahoma playing the type of defense they are, and it's like, oh, my God, they should have fired Mike Stoops a long time ago.
Okay, I know this is right up your alley, Eddie. Tom Herman, admitted Mensa member.
He is the most unlikable person in the entire world.
Admitted Mensa person, got into a math debate with Barry Trammell.
Yeah, he just – how about you listen – first
he didn't
off,
listen to the question. He jumped to a conclusion that something was said that wasn't said and kind of looked dumb. But Barry Trammell tried to say, he was asking Sam Ehlinger a question. You know, it's been you played this team three times in the last 52 weeks, and Tom Herman, you know, he didn't listen. So here's that exchange. And here's Sam Ehlinger, the most important part, telling you what's different that he saw in Oklahoma's defense today.
Second row on the left.
Yeah, Barry Trammell with the Oklahoma. And Sam, this is your third game against OU in the last 52 weeks. A different defensive coordinator. What is it?
2 years.
Yeah, I'm talking about the title game, too.
Yeah, you said 2 weeks. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
52 weeks. 52. Oh, 52. Yeah, sorry. But anyway, all three games, different defensive coordinator for OU. Was this one, what was different about this OU defense than those that you played last year?
I think they did a really good job of swarming the football. Obviously, they recruit extremely well and have tremendously talented players, and I feel like they just let them go make plays, opposed to trying to do a whole bunch of complex stuff. They just let them be athletes, and they did a good job of that.
And there you have it, music to everyone's ears. He feels like they just let OU let their athletes go make plays.
It's crazy to hear
loose.
Him say that.
Yeah.
Because we've been hearing it from OU's players, and we feel like we've watched it. But to hear someone like Ehlinger admit it flat out, you know, it's simple, and they're good, and they're coming after us now.
But if you're an offense, I mean, you know when someone comes after you defensively. You know when every time you catch the ball and turn around, there's three guys there instead of one that you have to beat. Like, it was painfully obvious today for Texas that they were facing a completely different defense than anything they've seen in recent years.
Well, it seemed like for the first time in quite a while, and, you know, we'll get into the Oklahoma offensive line in a second, but defensively, that defensive front rotation as far as Neville Gallimore, you know, Q Everton was in there a lot. Ronnie Perkins was all over the place.
So,
that defensive line, for the first time in a long time, I think you can walk out of the Cotton Bowl thinking, oh, you kind of out-physicaled them. Like, that was something that we had talked about on the unofficial 40. It was something we talked about during the Eskridge Lexus post-game podcast from Kansas. I mean, this defensive line's starting to maybe show a little bit, and I think that they're only going to get better because you talk about most of these guys outside of Gallimore and Kenneth Mann. They're still young. They're still relatively young. I thought Bonito – I mean, there was almost every defensive player out there played well. Was there a defensive player that didn't play well today?
Yeah, I kind of hope Calvin Thibodeau got to wear the golden hat because his group was by far the best group on the field.
Yeah, they played extremely well, and I mean the just the amount of pressure that they were able to generate from what it looked like was just a natural pass rush. It didn't look like they were doing a whole lot. And then when they did get after him, like the Patrick Field sack
right.
or wherever, I mean,
or
it seemed like
blitzes here and there. Yeah,
everything that Alex Grinch did today worked, and not only did it work, but it came at a massive point in the game.
Really, I mean, the one run, the 52-yarder, I think it was, that Rashawn Johnson had, a 57-yarder, I mean, like this defense, it always gives up something, and that was kind of the one it gave up, and it led to a touchdown. But, you know, there weren't a whole lot of instances where receivers were catching the ball and then getting a lot of yards after the catch today.
Yeah, and they weren't able to attack the Sooners deep. They went after Trey Brown and Motley a couple times, especially early in the second half to try to stem the
even Turner Yell at one point had a pass defense deep.
I mean, they did a really nice job. I mean, what we've talked so much about is when they give up the big play, how last year that led to 2, 3, and 4, and once again this afternoon, it didn't. It was one bad drive, and they got right back to it.
We had one play. Motley had a bad play early, and then he came like flying like a missile and took a guy. I don't know if it was DuVernay. I can't even remember now if it was Ehlinger or somebody. But it was like, okay, Parnell Motley's here to play. Like, he's not hanging his head.
You know, as much grief and as much, I guess, question marks that were surrounding that secondary, they've played well here over the last couple weeks. I mean, Kansas put some balls in some pretty good windows. There's nothing you can do about it. I thought today that, you know, they didn't get taken advantage of by any means. So I thought Deller and Turner Yell starting to come on and play a little bit stronger as well, playing more north-south, coming down and tackling guys. And, you know, I don't think anybody's expecting them to win the Jim Thorpe Award, but I think that, you know, they're at least progressing in the right direction and they're getting better. So that tells you that they're getting decent coaching on the sidelines, and that's one thing that I noticed today was those guys coached their ass off during the game. And, you know, I'm not saying that the previous regime didn't, but it's very noticeable.
Couple things I want to get to here from the post game. Alex Grinch, and again, Bob wrote about this in the post game. Go check it out on Soonerscoop.com. OU needed defensive stars to step up. Good God, Kenneth Murray was good today. I mean, just he did the same thing he did to Stevenson against Houston and opened the game yep. to DuVernay and just ripped him down by his shoulder pad. Texas fans were going nuts because they were like, that has to be a face mask. Like, you can't rip
just
someone down
live,
that bodily
I thought it was.
With just your hand. Like, but he can do it. But here's Alex Grinch talking about Kenneth Murray's day.
He was, and you see a guy playing fast. You see a guy playing confident. You know, Coach Odom does a great job with that linebacking core. But, you know, you see a guy that, you know, doesn't have to be a blitz to get him active, you know, get him active in the backfield. You know, we have, you know, some leaders on the defense, but you circle him, you circle Nev and some of those guys. And in your big games, your best players have to make plays. There's no other way around it. And you saw a guy playing fast and saw a guy that obviously had major, major impact on the result today. So very, very pleased with Kenneth, and you see what type of player he can be for us.
And, you know, along with that, Neville Gallimore had a great – we talked about it. You know, just
Gallimore
about everybody
was
had
fantastic.
A great day. But here's the thing. Jalen Hurts had a very off day today, and I know it was a level of competition.
You know what's funny is, like, you say – and I would say the same thing. He was off today. Statistically,
not.
He was incredible.
Yeah. Well, he set a record 131 yards rushing. By
if, if you take away the two turnovers, though, and, you know, I thought going
can't
into
that.
No,
away.
I know. I know. I know.
That's what he's here for is
no,
to convert.
Great.
The, I mean, that's.
No,
his,
you're right.
Like, his biggest job is not so much to throw touchdowns. Like, I'm not saying being a game manager.
No,
but
you're saying
he's
take
the one
care of the
guy
ball.
That can't F it up.
Yeah. For sure,
like
for sure,
he can play loose from 20 to 20, but when you get into the red zone,
you've got
you
to
cannot
take care of the football.
Do what he did today.
For sure. And you know,
let me just throw this out there real quick because I want to get to Jalen Hurts' own self assessment of his day today. But the thing about it is, they had the two turnovers. It was 10-3 at halftime. What was it? Was it 10-3 halftime? And like, this is OU Texas, dude. Like, you make these mistakes, you don't take advantage in the red zone, it comes back to bite you in the ass.
It's every year.
Every year. It comes back to bite you in the ass. And Texas is getting the ball back out of halftime. The offense actually needed the defense to help them out today, and they can say that that is what happened. It's just
the
like
the
unicorn
the
that of yeah, yeah. what, you know, how many games we can count on one hand where the defense, you know, played dominant at points. So for the offense to be able to sit there and say, wow, we really were able to lean on the defense today to pull us through, that's what happened today. And CeeDee Lamb did talk about that after it was over. All right, I'm going to do some editing. You guys couldn't hear that, but I totally screwed that up. So anyway, let's move on to Jalen Hurts' performance today. I mean, obviously, as we said, it statistically it was pretty good, but not what, you know, keeping the main thing wasn't always kept
no.
today.
I think I have a bigger problem with the fumble than the interception. The interception, I think, I just don't
I
think
don't
he
know.
Saw him and he threw it. He was trying to throw it out the backside
oh,
of the end
I think
zone.
It was the interception to me was a total panic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he didn't see the defensive back there. But
there's like three of them.
The fumble, just get your ass down. Just slide. Like, you don't need to run people over. This offense is good enough that they're going to be able to, you would think, punch it in. But you're right, Kerry. It's kind of what you set that set the audio up for, was just the fact that it's 10-3 going into halftime, and you think, man, Oklahoma's kind of dominated this game, and all of a sudden
they haven't taken advantage.
Yeah,
of it.
This game should be 21-3 at the worst, and it's only 10-3. So, you know, but then again, the defense came out in the third quarter and did what they needed to do.
Here's Jalen Hurts on his performance after the game.
Jalen, what was going through your mind at halftime, knowing that you all had had some pretty good success moving the ball, but only had a 10-3 lead to show for it because of a couple of costly turnovers?
I'll say that I definitely didn't put the team in the greatest and best situations, but the key about that is we found ways to overcome it. We had each other's back. Obviously, you know, every position you want it to end in a kick. So it's a lot to learn from the game and all. That I definitely think that this team shows some perseverance and shows some mental toughness, and we kind of overcame a lot of adversity as a group. And not a complete game, but definitely another step in the right direction.
And that was another thing that he was talking about, you know, getting support from his teammates. And here was the CeeDee Lamb clip I screwed up earlier, talking about getting that support from the defense.
You were bought a little bit of time by the defense today, which is a little bit different from what it's been like the past few years. How much more reassuring is that for you as an offense?
Man, it's great. Obviously, on offense, when you fail to score and your defense is picking you up and doing their job and holding their end of the bargain, is the man, the energy just kind of just switch over to the offense. At some point, we're going to put up points. And like I said on the field, man, we just got to take that next step. We shooting ourselves. And like I said, as a team, man, we did a great job of just complimenting one another. The defense did a great job for the first half, like Coach Riley said, and talked to each other on halftime and then just came back second half to try to put up numbers.
And you know what everybody is saying right now? That is so awesome that the defense – supported the offense today when they weren't doing well, but get your ass back to scoring 50 points a game, will you?
Yeah, I think that would alleviate a lot of problems. But, you know, I did think that when Jalen was talking that, and it'll be interesting if this is a storyline going throughout the week, but do you think, like, a performance like that brings a team closer? Like, you know, last year that we knew there was some obvious differences, but maybe the adversity of building that as a unit rather than two sides of the ball, how far can that take you, or how far does that go? Does that go a long way for a football team?
Especially when Riley talked about that. What was it, the South Dakota game or the Bruins game, about the camaraderie was already there?
You know what, Bob?
They needed some type of adversity. They hadn't really faced any.
Bob, you know what does it? It's the Iron Bowl versus this game thing.
Yeah. That's
like
a money quote.
You were SEC guy, and we all know how you feel about the SEC, but now you've played in our big game. And Jalen Hurts, I'll play the audio for you. This was the quote of the post-game press conference.
Now that you've played in the Texas OU game, how does that compare with the Iron Bowl?
Just figured that was coming.
I did too.
To each their own. Different environments, you know. I don't know any other, you know, person that'll be able to say that they've gotten wins in both of those games. So I think that's very special, and that's a testament to my teammates here, man. It's, I wouldn't rather do it with any other group. When you talk about the emotional ties I have to this university, they're there now, for sure. OU DNA in me.
OU DNA in me. And Bob,
in me.
Here's the thing about Jalen. Like, today we could see it from the press box. CeeDee Lamb definitely had the dirtiest uniform out there. Like, he put it all out on the field. But Jalen Hurts' shirt was untucked. Like, he bled for this team today. He took a pounding today. And I think, like Eddie was talking about, that's the thing that's going to, you know, make this team closer and make Jalen Hurts a better leader for them.
You know, I think the outside perception is that Jalen Hurts was brought in to be the savior to get OU to that next level. And then Hurts realized today that the rest of the team can pick him up if he's not at his best, too. And those are all positive things as you get into the second half of the season.
Well, and I know there was this article by The Ringer, and I was talking about that this morning, you know, that Jalen Hurts is not here to be a part of the OU tradition. He's here for his, as Eddie said, his FU tour.
Oh, he's definitely on that, here, but I think he got a few more fans today.
Basically saying he's using Oklahoma. Like, he's not here to wallow in Crimson, you know, the lore of the Sooners and the fans that – you know, like
business. Yeah, it's a bit,
but the thing is, every damn player on that field is the same way. They're not. CeeDee Lamb didn't come here. I mean, he came here as a business decision. He wants to go to the NFL. Just like everyone, like Ringer, you're not inventing anything.
Sometimes I think people, especially fans, think that these guys come to school, and there's some guys that do this, but I would say majority don't. That, like,
they think it's all Rudy.
Well, and they start reading. Reading up on, like, Benny Owen and what he means to the program. Like, that just doesn't happen. But when you do hear stuff like what Hurt said after the game, you know, I definitely think he'll probably get a couple more $100 handshakes around campus.
Now, I do have a question for you guys because of the way the post game was. So I ended up talking to guys on the other side of the room. Did Jalen Hurts crack a smile?
Yeah, I think he did.
He smirked. Oh yeah, he smirked for sure. I will say though that, you know, and this was just kind of what I saw down on the field, was the fact that he was more energetic, emotional, outwardly than I've ever seen him before the game, during the game, you know, after the touchdown in the fourth quarter to put him back up by 14. He gave just an icy glare just to the Texas section. And, you know, there was a little bit of attitude there, I thought. And I think it's a good thing moving forward. I agree with you, Kerry. I think it's something that his teammates maybe he earned a little bit more respect. I think they, not to say he didn't have the respect already, but I think it kind of just adds to what he's building at Oklahoma.
Look, I'm not trying to downgrade anything. I'm trying to use it as an example of, you know, what is right about the world. But like, you think about like Navy SEAL training and the things. I mean, it's just like 2 a days. Junction Boys.
Well, anytime you go through something with a lot of people, you build a chemistry.
There's a camaraderie.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
There's a closeness, a familial bond that forms in that situation. Going through beating Texas, playing in this game. I don't know if they're going to play Texas again. They might play Iowa State. I mean, that's
Baylor.
Is that a final? Did Baylor beat
Baylor? Won double overtime.
Double OT.
Okay. They're 6-0.
So Tech. I mean, problem is they went to overtime with Tech.
They beat Iowa State though.
So yeah, that's true. But something has been built that wasn't there before. All right, guys, let's do this real quick. Let's pay some bills while we're at this thing.
Eskridge Lexus is all about embracing the best. That's why they are the official travel partner of the Soonerscoop.com podcasts. So it's time for us to recognize the Sooners best with our Eskridge Lexus Player of the Game.
All right, this is not going to be an easy decision. Maybe we might even have to make one offense and one defense. That would make it an easier decision because
I think defense is tough.
I think we know where we're going to go. But, yeah, let's say this. Well, let me say this first. At Eskridge, Eskridge Lexus, EskridgeLexus.com does a great job providing us travel throughout the season, recruiting travel, big game travel. And, you know, all three of us traveled down here separately. Bob's got the baby with him. For the first time,
first road trip.
I'm sure
he's doing
well. Interesting. He hadn't had to deal with it that much.
I stopped at DW's for catch on the way down here.
I saw that.
Who exists now?
Yes, he does. He's back. He unblocked me on Twitter.
Not in an official capacity, though. Lexus capacity. He didn't stop at DW's. I was the only one driving a Lexus today. It was mine, the one I bought from Eskridge Lexus. So, anyway, here's what you guys need to know. A lot of new 2020 models coming in. We took the RX to Lawrence last week, and it was fantastic, a fantastic ride. Eddie drove it around without crashing anybody's wedding or anything like that, like he might have done with an Eskridge family member at one point.
If there's an Eskridge wedding, I will be attending regardless if I'm invited. That's my thing.
Just know you are crashing an Eskridge wedding.
It's an Ed thing. Well, I'm just automatically invited.
We have wedding crashers to open the
post.
That's
true, yeah. There's a reason for it. It all adds up now. So anyway, look, if you're looking for a new luxury car, I've driven a Lexus for 10 years now. They're fantastic. I'll never drive anything else. I mean, as long as Ed's sponsor of this podcast. No, even after that, you know, I love Lexus. It's a great car. It's a great luxury vehicle. Go check them out at EskridgeLexus.com or feel free to give them a call. I'll give you the phone number here in just a minute. But here's the thing. If you're looking for a new Eskridge Lexus or a new Lexus, give Ed Eskridge a shout-out. He will take care of you. Tell him you're a Scoop podcast listener or a Soonerscoop.com member. And you'll get a special deal. So they do a great job there. The service department, I just got my car serviced out there, which I do regularly. They do a fantastic job. So go check everything out. And the new vehicles. They got the yellow LC in the showroom now. That's the 100K coupe sports car that neither Eddie or I could fit in.
I've seen a picture of that somewhere.
They're awesome.
This week.
They're unbelievable. Give them a shout, and they will take care of you. The phone number over there. By the way, because I know you were asking, 405-755-9000 or EskridgeLexus.com. Okay, so back to the player of the game. You're saying defense, it's not a slam dunk for Kenneth Murray?
Neville Gallimore was sensational and made it a lot easier for Murray to do what he does. So Murray gets all the glory, while Gallimore really did all the the heavy lifting, the work in the trenches to make sure Kenneth could do what he did. I'd still go Murray, but if you said Gallimore, and I'm sure Josh would be one of those guys since he loves watching offense,
the interior guys,
defensive line, you would say Neville.
I'm just going to take it away, and CeeDee Lamb, your Eskridge Lexus player of the game.
He is.
There's no debating.
When you put up the when you put up the numbers that he did, the way that he did it, and the spots that he did it, exactly. It was just, I mean, that was
the DeMarco Murray jumping rope, over.
That's it's up there with one of the better performances, I mean, I've seen in this stadium.
Mark Clayton had that fantastic performance.
2003.
Six touchdowns by Quentin Griffin.
Yep.
I mean, what he did today and the athleticism that he showed.
With all three, because that first touchdown was a fourth and goal. You don't get that to start the game. This could have been totally different. Like, every catch meant something.
Do we dub this the CeeDee Lamb game?
Yes.
I think we can. It's starting to become, it's gotten to the point that, and I might, maybe I'm just late to the party, but CeeDee Lamb, every time he touches the ball, can score. He's starting to get to that level of respect in my mind. Like, when, because a lot of, has he caught a ball in the end zone on a deep ball? Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it feels like all of his touchdowns
of his own, yeah,
have been yak yards,
yeah,
or
the
breaks
only
a tackle.
One would be the Bruins because they had that bust.
Oh, that's right. But that's right. That's right.
It. Yep.
But so outside of that, I mean, it just feels like he is he's becoming such a deadly weapon, even when he gets the ball and from a punt.
He did have the one catch against Tech too, that was a shorter route
over the top.
The
fade route. Timing
route. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's
front
right.
Front corner of
over
the
in the south end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's quickly go stock up, stock down today.
Do we have to do stock down?
Can just real quick on player of the game.
I don't know if we can.
He's not a player, but I want to nominate Alex Grinch for the type of performance that the defense had. He can be a Coco official, non-official, official player of the game.
Okay, there you go. Congratulations, Alex Grinch, for being our first Coco.
Your check is in the mail. Every player that gets nominated for a player of the game gets a $500 check from the Radosovich Endowment.
We'll get you a deal on Alexis, Alex Grinch. I know some people. Okay, so, yeah, I don't really know that there is a stock. I'm going to say no. I'm not even going to get in a debate. I'm not putting OU's quarterback up for debate. He won OU Texas.
366 total yards and 4 touchdowns. No, we are not saying stock down.
It's just somewhat of a commentary on just how good this offense has been over the last, you know, three, four years, that a guy puts up 330 in the biggest game of the season to date, and we're looking for ways to rip the guy apart because he turned the ball over twice.
I'll give you a stock down. Josh McQuestion, he jinxed Jaden Hazelwood today. He tried to steal my prediction, you know, that has been happening, but that's fine. I'm glad he took it and didn't make me look stupid.
I need to look
again.
Back. I think the only freshman who played, Jaden Davis.
And you said this to me, like, Lincoln doesn't like playing freshmen in
this
game.
This is the only game.
And I remember that from last year.
TJ Pledger didn't play in last year was this one. He goes with the vets. And even if that meant no Grant Calcaterra, who we found out pregame.
Morse got a lot of snaps.
Those snaps.
Well, I guess he had to because they weren't going to put Stogner in. And
well, Stogner was in there a lot.
He was in the goal line package, but he was never actually legitimately like a focus. Like,
and it was usually with Hall. It was with other bigs.
Yeah, and then you have the Calcaterra thing was weird that, I guess he sustained a concussion during midweek. So, I mean, that sucks. I thought he was going to have a big day today. So we'll see. I would think that, you know, everything goes well. It couldn't have been one of those concussions that was just terrible because – He was out there on the field, and it was a pretty damn sunny day.
By the way, I do have a massive stock down.
Oklahoma?
Massive stock down. I'm just going to play this clip.
Oh, stock down Mike DeFee.
This
He's a jackass.
Right here. It's Lincoln Riley talking about the pregame unsportsmanlike penalty on every single player wearing a uniform today.
Maybe we have to time our warm-ups up a little bit different. I think we both punted the ball, you know, so both teams are just running right at each other, which
creates a little bit of an environment for that. It's a little testy. So Mike and them, the officiating crew, just decided they would go ahead and nip it in the bud. They gave everybody a personal foul, which obviously is a big deal, because then if any player on the field gets a dead ball personal foul, they're ejected. And so we talked about it quickly, and it looked like both teams stayed pretty composed on it after that.
Can we check and see if Mike DeFee has made a sizable donation to hornsupforpeace.org?
We would send his money back, because he's a son of a bitch. I think he's one of the worst referees in the conference.
And what was up with all the I mean, with
you realize how much
lectures today? He was about everything.
Do you realize how much money he probably cost people out there for that BS Kenneth Murray roughing the passer call in the fourth quarter?
That was
Oklahoma just scored. Texas, get it back up over the cover.
Not if he had Texas plus 10.5.
Well, I mean, yeah, you probably split it with him. He probably bet on it. I thought that was a terrible call. I mean, it didn't affect the outcome
the
of the game by any means.
Certainly hated that call more than anything else that
happened
today.
Such a nice hit. It was like what the hit Murray was waiting to put on Sam the entire game. Does it finally got his chance?
Does it go up there with the BS quarterback hit calls right up with Eric Stryker and Case McCoy?
Oh, on the infamous
GIF
that everybody has tweeted at one point or the
what
other.
Is
I still
for?
Can't
we
figure out
know,
what how is that is a penalty. Other than that Eric Stryker hit him too hard, yeah. So, I mean, Mike DeFee, I think you should resign after what I saw today.
I just don't get the idea. I guess they're saying that a referee got hit. That's why he threw
said
the flag.
He got hit, and another one of his referees
got hit. Well, get out of the goddamn way.
Go read Bob's note package today, his notes article, his notebook. I should say, using Big J lingo there. But his last quote in your notebook was disgusting. Just absolutely made my stomach turn. I got to go find it again just so I can see. This is per the pool reporter that talked to Mike DeFee. He finished his quote, "The primary responsibility of the officials is twofold outside of just the playing rules. One is player safety, and two is the integrity of the game."
Shut up!
What happened out there is an embarrassment to everyone. It shouldn't happen.
Oh, my God. The king of the olds. If there's he's the old referee. That is so straight out of the "I'm going to call the cops if your party isn't over by 9:45. Like, that is just, that makes my blood boil.
Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous.
He should not have a platform to give his opinion on anything.
What about
fouls?
The coin toss.
I mean, he's lecturing the players before
there's something in there, too, about he says something to the effect of, "I was just disappointed in everything that was going on." It's like, okay, man. Like, get over yourself first off.
We're not here for you, okay?
No, he's definitely one of those guys that thinks you are there for him.
Narcissist. So, yeah, at least we know it now.
So we have a stock down. You want to go stock up?
Yes, let's go stock up.
You want Ronnie, me to go? Let's go Ronnie Perkins, man.
I mean, good day. He was about catching
me outside, and he showed him what's up.
Tell you what, I was just so impressed with, like, I just kept sitting there, like, looking at Nate Fakin sitting next to me from Channel 4 in Oklahoma City, just as far as, like this defense is, they're dominating at times. Yeah. There were points where you thought to yourself, shit, just get the defense back out there. They're gonna come up with stops. And I mean, Ronnie Perkins was a madman today. He showed flashes of the guy that I think when we talk about Ronnie Perkins, that's what we think he could end up being one day.
He was really good, and he was challenged, and he was fighting in the tunnel before the game. I mean, he was ready for this.
Yeah, I was
thing.
At the right, I was in the right place at the right time
right
today,
moment, man.
I'm gonna give a stock up to Kennedy Brooks. You know, good to see him back. It's been a couple of weeks since we've seen him. And, you know, I mean, early in the season, he didn't look like a guy that was back to form. Today was his best day of the year as a runner.
Yeah, the two runs there by Kennedy Brooks, I think it was 43 yards, and then Ramondre Stevenson, the 29-yarder.
42 and 24
there in the fourth quarter when Oklahoma, you know, Texas – had gotten back in the game. I mean, I think it's fair to say that. It was a three-point game, and you know, I had tweeted right before that drive started that Jalen Hurts and this Oklahoma offense have always talked about all year about finishing, and this was their opportunity to do it, and they were able to do it because they weren't able to do it in the first half, and it kind of put them with their backs up against the wall. So, yeah, if for everybody, including myself, that basically had said all week that Ramondre Stevenson's the best running back on the team, Kennedy Brooks definitely gave us all the middle finger.
And
today.
Then Brooks,
I can hear
Brooks
Chicago
got the,
in the background right now.
I might have to. I might have to find that.
Brooks had to play the role of Trey Sermon. We can't. Hey, sorry guys, we did not get to ask Lincoln Riley what
was
going on.
That's a bad thing about the multiple podium.
Yeah, you guys. I don't know if you guys care about the post game setup. It's not traditional. We don't know why Trey Sermon was just a decoy the entire game. Never had a carry, but was out there. A lot of snaps in the first half, not as much in the second. But Brooks became the closer role with 64 of his rushing yards coming in the fourth quarter.
Stock up for me, Adrian Ealy and Eric Swenson. I think two guys that, I mean, obviously, if it had been, let's say, I don't know, even TCU probably wouldn't play this week. But both of them. Lincoln Riley talked about it after the game because I asked him.
Adrian Ealy and Eric Swenson, obviously you talked about how difficult it would be for them. Like, was there some, I don't know, magical fountain you found for them this week? Can you talk about kind of what they went through to be able to play as much as they did?
Yeah,
today?
They weren't able to practice much. Didn't look real promising. Able to do some walkthroughs at the end of the week. And I mean, they weren't healthy. They just gutted it out for us. I mean, really, they with limited practice, limited time to heal and rest, it was just a gutsy performance by those guys, and it was certainly good to have them back. And proud of the way they played, really our whole offensive line, considering all the changes. And again, we even as late as Thursday didn't think we would have either one of them, or thought it may be one. And so to get two and those guys play well was huge for us.
And those guys gutted it out the entire game. I mean, they played from beginning to end.
If you would have asked me 45 minutes before the game started, well, I guess at 9 o'clock, when I saw Ealy come get off the bus, he kind of – this is so stupid, but he had headphones on, and he just looked like a guy that was preparing mentally for the game. That's probably maybe the worst breakdowns that – or the worst way to decide if somebody's going to be playing in a game. But anyways, I didn't think there was any chance Eric Swenson was going to play today. And for both of those guys to play, I mean, that was basically, I told the Tyler Palmateer down on the field before the game that when we know that Lincoln is just straight up lying on Mondays, that's when we know that he should play or that those guys are going to play.
Yeah. I think it's like we're going to learn, like he's going to start just making it into – well, he was in the hospital the last 2 days. They didn't think he was going to make it.
He was on an IV drip.
It's going to be a team matter from now on, where Tom Herman opened with the injury report.
God,
it's a team matter. We're not going to discuss it, but send your prayers, please.
I don't know if Tom Herman believes in God.
No, I'm talking about Lincoln Riley's going to handle his injuries moving forward.
Yeah.
And he'll
well, church and state. We should just pray
he'll,
right
he'll
now
be like,
for him.
Please, just don't talk about this. His family's very upset right now. His mother was at the hospital all last night crying.
As much as I dislike listening to Tom Herman speak, if I could figure out a way, like if I won the lottery, I'd just figure out a way to fly to every post game after a Texas loss because I do enjoy those.
And maybe have him do math, just to prove,
or
if he's
just
a
listen.
Member.
I mean, every other question was, can you repeat that? Just open your ears up, coach.
I actually gained more respect with Ellinger the way he handled that. He, I mean, you can tell he was disappointed and frustrated, but he handled it like
a lot different from the, you know, take the L, bitch, or whatever it was. I mean, he was classy about it. And, you know, I'm sure OU fans are going to be all on him about the weird back stuff.
He probably has some type of relationship with most of those guys because they were tackling his ass the entire day.
Yeah, he did not look like there was. I mean, there was one play where Ronnie Perkins just stoned him in the hole right at the line of scrimmage. Like, that was the one thing I noticed today is Sam Ellinger usually gives as much as he gets. I thought he took it a lot more today than I've ever seen him against OU.
They still had red zone touchdowns and things like that, and he had two of them. But, man, 56 yards that he lost from all those hits and sacks, he felt it today.
All right, well, Sooners go to 6-0. Longhorns fall to 4-2. They have the long road now back to the Big 12 championship game. Sooners move on to play West Virginia next week, maybe without Austin Kendall,
who left
the game because of a shoulder injury today.
And they got trounced in the second half. It was tied
Iowa
at halftime in 38-14 final.
Our guy from Wichita, the running back.
Breece Hall.
Breece Hall had a really good game today
for them.
Yeah.
Good for him.
It looks like he's becoming their go-to back. I mean, he really
that's awesome. Good
he
for
really
him.
Opened up the offense in the second half for them. So
that's fantastic. We'll have plenty of time to get into this, even probably on the unofficial 40. But is it kind of weird thinking these two teams are going to play again?
I don't know.
It's all about Baylor.
Iowa State and Baylor.
Iowa State and Baylor.
And Baylor gets Oklahoma and Texas in back-to-back weeks. I think November 16th and November 23rd, maybe something like that.
Iowa State remains the crazy girlfriend of the conference.
And then OSU just
smoking
lingering out
ice
there
all the time, hanging out with Larry Eustace, drinking Natty Lights.
But extremely hot, yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep her around for a little bit then.
So another week, like next week, Cowboys and Bears. Kind of find out OSU can make another run.
Yeah.
And Baylor doesn't play.
You know what's
going to
be interesting? I wouldn't be surprised if Oklahoma State's favored in that game.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Cowboys next week.
You look
week.
At
that's,
trends, like Baylor will be – their trends will be horrible.
That's a game Oklahoma State probably wins by a touchdown, 10 points, coming off of a bye week. We can get into that in the unofficial 40, though.
Well, Eddie Radosovich, I'm sure your phone blew up quite a bit this morning.
I'm excited to get home and see the performance. I don't think it was as long as I thought it was going to be.
No, it was –
in fact, I talked to Gene this afternoon – and he said that they cut out a couple parts that had kind of become our favorites. So I'm going to see if I
need
can.
Need a cutting room floor.
Well, I'm going to try and I need to holler at ESPN and tell them I want my footage.
Yeah, we need to be able to put
see,
that up on
I want to see the footage. So maybe they can, because I thought the stuff at Balfour's too was pretty good. I was very good acting and they didn't put it in. So I'm a little upset about that. That's why I've always been a Fox guy, but
you get a lot of deranged tweets coming at you following it.
Oh no, there was a couple guys that didn't understand why an Oklahoma grad would be advocating for horns up. But
it's
that's another thing. I don't know why they put that as the lower third. That made me a little uncomfortable.
Oklahoma graduate.
Yeah,
yeah. I was a little pissed it didn't say Soonerscoop.com.
I told them. I think that's ESPN's way of giving us the middle finger.
I think ESPN owes us some wages for that day for you.
They might be able to. Yeah, I don't know. What was the guy's name that was the ESPN exec that had to leave?
Oh yeah, John Skipper.
Yes, John Skipper. Maybe they'll send a couple extra baggies of Coke that he left at the office
and
to Norman or something.
No more appearances on game day.
Oh, no. We're just joking. We're just having fun. It's OU Texas. You can say anything you want.
No, I'm glad.
Mike DeFee.
You just can't the horns down, whatever you do.
Mike DeFee will tell you different.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Eskridge Lexus postgame podcast. We'll be back for another edition of the unofficial 40 from MidFirst.com. Make sure you go to MidFirst.com/U40 and sign up for the OU credit rewards card. And I appreciate you guys, as always, here from Dallas. We're signing off, and we're going to get out of here and head on back north. I don't, hate Dallas, and I don't want to, besmirch. I love Dallas, actually. My parents live here. So it's not like – it's that whole thing. I don't want to be one of those people – anyway. Those people that are I hate everything south of the red. I'm never going to be that guy.
I
want to
support Texas.
I'm going to have dinner with friends, and we're going to enjoy it. And it's a place I can't go to in Oklahoma, so I'm all for it. So,
is it off Harry Hines?
No.
Oh.
It's the Grand Lux.
What? Oh, I think my parents ate there.
The Galleria.
Yeah, my parents ate there on Friday.
It's just a big old fancy cheesecake factory.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said. That's exactly what they said.
But the beignets are unbelievable.
Oh, you're going to get one to go to? bring back for Sunday?
No, probably not. No, you have to eat those warm.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's not a next day thing.
Well, the march to what's it called continues for Oklahoma. Camelback. That's what made me think of beignets. Made me think of Camelback for some reason.
Pearl will like Arizona.
I think I'd prefer Arizona.
We would like making that trip.
All right. Well, we're pissing off people. Yeah, you got a ways to go.
Yeah. Eddie's going to share the room with Pearl, by the way.
Hey, we'll have fun out in Scottsdale.
She slept till 6 in the morning. I can't ask for more than that.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back again midweek for an official 40. And thanks for listening. Sooners win. 34-27. They take the Red River Showdown with the Texas Longhorns. And we'll see you guys again next week after the Sooners play West Virginia. Right back here on the Eskridge Lexus podcast from Soonerscoop.com.